You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. This morning we have a great guest, a very enthusiastic manufacturer, Jeff Leekman from Killer Concepts here in Laguna Niguel. So, Jeff, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405.
Thank you for having me, Will.
So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about how you got to this company called Killer Concepts, and what do you do? Tell us about that.
Well, the Killer Concepts started after really coming up through retail and retail logistics and buying through big box retail. And I was doing some consulting, and I was frankly maybe a little bit bored. A friend of mine had come across some hard time, and so we bought two tickets. It was around the time of the recession, and he had also had some health issues, so we bought two tickets, went to China really with the idea of building a company that we can run, building something that we can do it our own way, and building something that could really mean something to us. So that's where Killer Concepts started. And here we are now in our eighth year. We've got excited to have over 10 employees. Actually, we're 12 employees and growing with some great plans.
So what's your 10-year target here? What do you want to make this company into?
My dream is to run a big company. My dream is to have 1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. The only way I know how to do it right now is to build it. So if I can live long enough, I hope to achieve it. It's a constant battle of making some short-term decisions to try to grow your company at the pace you want to be at with the other side of the equation, which is to make conservative or smart business decisions that you can survive in the short term as well. So every day is that challenge, and every day it's exciting to try to grow the company to that position. That's really what we're trying to do, which seems kind of pretty silly from the outside looking in terms of what we make and how and who we are, but it is our goal.
So I appreciate silly from looking at your website, but tell us what that means.
We'll end with what the product is. We'll start with what the company is, right? We design and develop our own products. We build our own molds. We finance our own manufacturing and control and manage our own manufacturing with direct relationships with all of our factories. And we manage our own supply chain. We import it into our own warehouse. We do our full retail compliance and out of a facility. And we create our own marketing. We create our own packaging. We create our own all of our digital assets. And we go to market. And our market traditionally is big box. And so when you're going through the cash register of your favorite retailer, there's a pretty good chance you're going to see one of our products. And I'm excited to say that for the most part, all of our products are of our own IP, of our own, and we have trademarks or patents on whatever makes that product unique. And we've managed to find a foothold that we're still making sure it's secure enough to drag us to the next step. But we're confident in our path.
So share with the audience what your products are.
Okay, so the company was founded with a speaker, with the Rocksteady speaker, and we did have very early dreams that are still current in us to become a speaker company and really do some fun and exciting things. And we're working on an exciting product that we'll talk about later. Like most companies, you have a challenge, capital. And capital is if you don't have a lot of it, you can't afford to make big mistakes. So we start at the bottom, making a little cell phone holder, a little suction cup cell phone holder that's called the Piggy. It's great. It's the best-selling smartphone holder probably on the planet.
Really?
I think so.
Well, I've seen them. Yeah. They are funny.
They're funny. And what's great is we turned that into a family. So last year we have Piggy. And now we have Piggy and Friends, where you kind of have a Piggy and Drag in all different animal shapes. And we're working on every 12 months another set of added shapes that keep that product going. And we've had a lot of excitement around that product.
So a lot of them. This is the iPhone Oh, goodness. What were those bears?
A lot of people right now that are throwing things at their laptop or something. Say that for the callers.
Yes, yes. But that whole notion of now have a whole family here.
Our
Beanie Babies.
Now, that's the one. There you go. You saved us. The Beanie Baby. You know what? The Beanie Babies are great. And one of the things that made the Beanie Baby great was it was also great quality. And it wasn't that expensive.
Right.
Our piggies, they usually retail for about $1.50, depending on where you go. And it's a business plan in itself. It's got a nice solution for the retailer. We offer them lots of margins and lots of merchandising solutions. And then we also offer a product that's really good quality. And with the added shapes, and there are people buying several, and it's exciting about that. We've got some exciting plans. We really are excited to maybe at least leave our DNA kind of in the field of pop culture, I guess.
It's the Beanie Babies.
Yeah, but yeah, those guys. I hope in a way. I that's interesting. Thank you.
So the piggies now. So we use these piggies on the back of our cell phones, right?
Right. So a piggy is basically a suction cup with feet, uh-huh. So you suction cup it to the back of your phone, and as long as you have a smooth surface, the piggy will suction cup and hold that phone. And for you, so you can then place your phone at about a 45-degree-ish angle and watch movies and stuff on your phone horizontally. And it's great. It's fun. They're cute. And, you know, when and the shape is fun. It's got a little piggy tail, and it's got a nice round, plump belly. And it's kind of found throughout its family. So there's a piggy dolphin. There's a piggy dog. There's a piggy.
How many of these have you sold?
With Piggy and Friends and Piggy, last month we passed 20 million.
Hey, 20 million.
Yeah, and we've taken all that money and squandered it on trying to build a bigger company. But it's an exciting product.
20 million. Come on now. Where did this concept come from?
Well, the idea of doing everything one-handed while you can hold your phone while you're on an airplane or where you're at lunch or anything, or trying to prop it up on your coffee cup, just never seemed like the ultimate long-term solution. Back in when the company started, we really looked at a bunch of products. What are we going to start a company with? And we came back from China with a handful of products. And then it was always about, okay, now what can we make better? How can we make this our own? And back then, we started with the Rocksteady speaker. It was a speaker.
We'll talk about that later. Speakers are different wonderful. World. I'm fascinated with this piggy.
Yeah. But the idea of a stand was one of them. And finally, you know, there had been this little suction cup with that looks like a toilet bowl plunger. And it was kind of cute. And then it was just about doodling it on a piece of paper. And I remember I was leaving China on my first trip after we had tried to find a silicone partner and that we can make our mold with and that we can get the quality one because, you know, we're audited by Walmart. So you have to build a proper warehouse, the factory that can do this. We wanted also good quality, so FDA certification on the silicone. We wanted to make sure it was Prop 65 tested. We wanted to make sure that we can build a good product.
Prop 65 is chemical-free, something like that?
So Prop 65, we consider, or I believe, is the highest standard in terms of it to test to say, does this product contain any known carcinogens that may lead to cancer? And so all of our products as a company are Prop 65 tested and Prop 65 passed.
Yeah,
according to laws in California, if it isn't Prop 65 passed, then you must disclose so.
And so
you should assume that everything...
And the cardboard disclosure is going to be bigger than the piggy.
You definitely have a limitation. You know what? Put in the UPC code on each piggy was a challenge. Exactly.
So now, all right. So you designed this. Now you go back to China to have manufacturing. Now, is this your manufacturing plant? Is this a co-op? Is this
great question? Early on, really, our first employee was Sonny. Sonny's great. I've known Sonny for a long time, and Sonny's in China. We went out and visited over the course of four rainy days, drove probably close to 1,000 miles surrounding the countrysides of of Shenzhen and in that area, Dongguan, Guangzhou, eastern Shenzhen, visiting a bunch of factories, met a factory owner I've now known for a long time. I know his wife, I know his family, and so I remember on that first trip, I felt good. I was getting back on the airplane on my way to Hong Kong to go home, and I had just received a WeChat, which they pay by WeChat. It was like basically a text message, and it was the final sample out of a final change I had made on the final mold, and I freaked out because it was wrong, and I just wanted a little bit more belly, and so I was panicking. I remember sweating. Finally got to Wi-Fi at the airport in Hong Kong, was able to communicate it, and right before I got on the airplane, I breathed a little deeply, and we went to. We went at it one piggy at a time, and so basically I'm a two bit whatever that is, the expression.
Two
bits is 25 cents, I think. That's pretty much. Yeah.
So all right, so you're still working with the same manufacturer.
We have a lot of factories now we have multiple products, but for that factory,
20 million, that's a lot of volume.
You know what, what's the biggest achievement? Not that we've achieved anything yet. Our goals are clearly much higher. But where I'm most proud of is, you know, we've got some great employees. We've got a great set of employees. We've accomplished a ton for how many people we are. And the supply chain behind that has been crazy. Before we moved into the warehouse we're in now, and our warehouse / office is relatively small now. Our last place was tiny. And, you know, there were times you couldn't get out of your office and get into the bathroom.
So you've moved from tiny to small.
We went from tiny to – look, real estate is expensive in California. I think that's how – we went from tiny to what we thought was big enough. But it was – you know it's too small when the day you moved in, you already are having a hard time closing the door.
Right. And
but it keeps you I guess it's just one more ball to juggle.
Well, it keeps you looking forward to when you can move from tiny to small to medium.
There's lots of options. You know, as you look at partners, mm-hmm. such as partner logistic partners, or as you can standardize processes, then outsourcing makes a lot of sense, like those sort of things.
All right, so back to the people. I mean, you obviously have a vision about where you want to go, 1,000 employees. And who knows how much you got 1,000 employees, and what I'm excited about is what I've heard you say is we had a company and then we had to decide what we wanted to do with it, what we wanted to build.
Yeah, it's not quite that linear. Last year I took the time to make kind of a diary year, and the story is kind of insane. It's exciting, and I think it's a colorful story. And what it's true, in all business, and it's true also like with my dog. What drives you is the scent, what dog smells, or what drives you where you're having success. Mm-hmm. And then you reformulate. And, you know, what we've tried to do is not pigeonhole ourselves. What we've tried to do is think outside of our box and continue to allow opportunities to come to us, which has hurt us. We've chased that skunk down the wormhole.
Shiny objects.
We've done a lot of that. And I would say that those have hurt us. But we see each one of those. The ones that you survive teaches you a lesson, I hope, that saves you fourfold.
Well, and I mean, what a failure. You either succeed,
yes.
In which case you don't learn anything, you just succeeded, or you might call it failure, but it really is an opportunity to learn.
Right. What I try to do every time a decision that I've never made before is the first thing I do is I try to make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. So I get the wrong one out of the way early. it's kind of like feel that I'm doing a good job of doing that.
Right, right.
Someday I'll find the opposite button, uh-huh. press that, and then do everything right in the right way, and then it'll be easy.
Probably 20, 30 ideas a month.
Our company moves very quickly.
All right, so now, when you talk about people.
Yeah.
How did you come up with great people? What process did you use to come up with great people?
You know, we've made some good hires and we've made some bad hires. So I've got two sets of people working for Killer Concepts. I've got one group of people that I've known for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. I've got one group of people that I've known for only for as long as they've worked for me. I feel that you have to be able to be yourself, and the person has to be able to be themselves to be around you. Otherwise, it's not comfortable, and a productive environment allows everyone to be themselves. So, you know, you have to get to know people, and you have to get your emotions out of the way and not project what you see in people too early, you know, and it's about giving people respect, letting them be themselves, and giving them an opportunity to succeed. And it's interesting what people can bring to the table once you give them that. And then lastly, you know, I think it's important that you have to have people that are ambitious to grow, and that they're, and what's important to me.
So what I'm hearing is they have to have a big want, something I want, that ambition and drive, yeah. I want. Yeah. And then the second thing I hear from you, before you start telling them what you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
And now, as you discover that, there are some people who stick around because yeah. your want and their wants mesh.
Yeah.
And there's others who recognize, this is not the place where I'm going to get what I want. I'm made available to the industry.
The communication, the yes. key is definitely to be engaged with what your people want to back it up. If you can't deliver and you let them down, then you know how can you get loyalty? Right. And loyalty means that they come to work, and you know, and I think there's a lot of, it's a win-win situation, because when you go to work and you don't like what you're doing, then that means you don't like what you're doing for a big part of your day.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, what I tell my folks is they hiring somebody, in addition to fitting with your values, and they not only respect them, but they live them.
Yeah.
But then the second part is, do they get where the company's going? They get the kind of to do this particular job? Do they bounce out of bed in the morning wanting to do it? And then thirdly, do they have the capacity to do it?
Yeah. Now, we failed over the course of the years where we've made – either the wrong hire at the wrong time or the wrong person for the wrong position. And those are painful. Mm. Those are really painful.
Big learnings.
And yeah, for sure.
All right. So now, as you develop this relationship with your manufacturer in China, what kind of data do you get from them regularly? I mean, is it simply the next shipment's coming, get ready, or
no? We understand their capacity, we understand our capacity, we understand. We give them forecasts, we give them plans. There's we work closely with. We have an account manager that works with our office there, managing capacity, managing schedule. We do some consolidation between multiple factories. So it depends on the time of the year and depends on our level of growth. We went through a huge growth year last year. This year has been a little flatter. And so trying to adjust your supply chain to your demand and it launches.
So what do you use to obtain this data? Is it simply Google Sheets, Excel, or do you have some of the software?
Yeah, so we have... our company started with Excel. I would say that on the 0 to 10 scale, Excel is, we've got a CFO who was off the charts on Excel. But when we moved to an ERP is when we grew up. We had been creating some interesting Excel spreadsheets that helped us to manage that. We still use to log certain data points, but we use QuickBooks Enterprise. And once we hired a CFO, which was a very important move to help us to grow, we kind of learned how to make a more expensive. It's a true story, by the way.
Yeah.
We had something entered in QuickBooks incorrectly, and it resulted us in over-ordering on a product by a lot.
Uh-huh.
And then that was a moment which, okay, what's the lesson we learned here today?
And what do we do with all these piggies now?
That's exactly what we ended up looking. How do we look forward? And we're using that in a very interesting way right now. We're using that to open new markets.
Of course. Yeah. There you go. And that's the learning, and that to me is the flexibility of an entrepreneurial company, is there are no mistakes that we can't recover from,
yeah.
right?
Did you know that there are 190 million people in Nigeria?
I heard today that there were 10 million people in Uganda, and half of them go to one particular church.
Yeah. We are working hard to get piggies into Nigeria. We actually have a very good foothold. We're putting, we think that's going to happen. That's going to be fun. Yeah.
Amazing.
Hope so.
Piggies in Nigeria.
Of course.
All right. Well, all right, let's take a break here and hear from our sponsors. I'm going to come back on and continue this great conversation.
Cool. Thank you.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions, and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
Well, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405, where we're talking to Jeff Leitman, the president and co-founder of Killer Concepts, and the maestro and czar of Piggy World. So now, I presume that when you mentioned the shipments that they come in through the LA port.
Yep, we had some really interesting challenges. You know, becoming an international company sounds pretty. You know, there's banking. That's a hard part. Sending money and communicating money with. In other currencies and other countries, especially China.
You can't use PayPal?
You can't just PayPal a factory $300,000 or whatever it is you're sending that day. And there was days where it was crazy. And then the logistics of it, you know, early on, after I came out of retail, I worked for quite a few years for a logistics company. I learned a lot. I had a really good team there. It was a company that grew quickly and really was a really great culture, great leadership. A company called Dighton. We did a lot of video game stuff, and so I leaned on some of my relationships there and started doing some containers that way. Got hurt really badly. We had some delays on a container that was just a horrible Christmas that nearly probably took 5 years off my life when a container got delayed through customs, and then a week of this and a week of that, and by the time it arrived at our house, our first order as a company for 1 million units had gotten canceled just 3 days earlier.
Santa Claus already took off. Sorry,
it was a low moment. Yeah, and then we partnered with a bigger company and somewhere we have some more reliable lanes, and they handle our you know, we just book it in China and we receive it here, and we built the processes. And I think that's fundamentally part of that platform is what is your company. You know, you can put a lot of weight on a platform, and the more weight you can put on that platform, the more you can make money until it kind of crumbles and you got to reinvest in that platform. We keep growing our platform, but our platform is pretty broad right now, and it's ready to be scaled. And so the chase of scaling your platform is where you get yourself in trouble sometimes if you do it wrong. But that's what that's the supply chain portion of that. It's part of that platform.
And so it comes in through the port.
Comes in through the port. We take it to our warehouse in Laguna Hills.
And is that by truck?
It's called drayage, and it's on the crane lifts the container off the boat and lowers it down into kind of this really neat kind of machine, and it's brought somewhere, and eventually when it gets the okay, it gets picked up again and put onto a truck, and they put about 4 bolts on the sides. They drive it up the 405,
right?
And sometimes if you sit here, maybe we can see it out the window here, and it shows up at our warehouse, and we don't have a dock, so everything is floor unloaded, and these containers are loaded to the hilt of boxes, And each box is full of silicone pigs, which are not light. And so every one of them has been unloaded early on in the company. I remember a drenched T-shirt as I did that with Rick and some other people. And later on, we have more people. And we've had some people. It's part of the experience. It's fun. So that's how that's done.
So what's the timeline from putting it on the boat in mm-hmm. China to hitting the dock here?
So in all of our supply chain, you got to build in lead times. We have lead time for manufacturing. We know what their capacity is and so on and so forth. But from the time that it leaves China to when it gets to our warehouse, it's usually somewhere between 3 to 3.5 weeks, sometimes 4. It's really only about, I think, 12 to 13 days on the water, but there's the time it takes to load it, the time it takes to clear it, they pre-clear most of the time it takes to unload it, and then the time they get to do the drayage or the delivery mm-hmm. To your facility. So we kind of build that into our plants.
Well, all right, so...
Which means we miss by a lot.
Yeah. All right, so you got piggies.
Yeah.
Talk about your future concepts.
Well, in the piggy, last year is when our business really grew last year when we launched Piggy and Friends. And so last year we had Piggies, which still sells really well. Piggy and Friends was all the new shapes. So it's a bunch of other animals that are kind of in the piggy friend. They're kind of cute. I think you'll enjoy them. We talked. And then we've got actually a plan with some new shapes coming out. And then the ones after that as well, working on, which is a whole family. You know, the piggy is something you leave on your bedstand at home. But for business users like myself, I'm at lunch. Sometimes I want to have my phone horizontally. Sometimes I want to have my phone vertically. So that's why we created the Piggy Pro, the professional piggy. And it's just a very thin aluminum plate that attaches to the back of your phone or your case. And it's got a little trap door. You pull it open, and there's a mirror in there to check your teeth. And it's also a really firm hinge, a really unusually firm hinge. And that hinge allows you to orient your phone in a lot of different angles, vertically or horizontally.
So this would really be piggy light, very light on the piggy.
Very light on the piggy. Very light on the for sure, and light on the piggy bank. And it's also a magnet, so a magnet mount. So if you buy one of our magnets, which is a really strong one, then it'll grab onto your phone.
Now, is your channel through Walmart as well?
Not yet. Everything happens at its own pace. Launching a product is a very difficult and expensive and a test of patience process. You're trying to create something out of nothing. Last year, we made a lot. It started making some big investments. We made a website. We hired a crew and made commercials, we hired a director and an ad firm to help us make that, to try to explain the technology, explain why it's a benefit. We just creating those digital assets. We invested heavily in the traditional Facebooks and online channels to build the brand and build product awareness. We do have it now starting to hit some retailers. We've got some retailers that are early, and then as it grows, as we hit certain milestones, then we definitely look to see to put into the right channels. And we're talking with all the right people, and we have the path to get there. We just have to make sure the product can perform and that the customer's ready for it and willing for it.
It's amazing to me that you can be selling. Did you say 200 million?
No.
20 million.
I'd like to say that.
20 million.
We're at 20, yeah.
20 million items to simply support a phone.
Well, so when you talk about demographics, if I'm a company that makes cupcakes, and which are great, I'm a big fan of cupcakes, your market is people who like to eat cupcakes. And if you make dresses, then you're obviously not making dress, you've got your demographic. We make a product that if you've got a smartphone, this is for you. So we've got such a broad spectrum of retailers. It's crazy. From GameStop, who has been an early and strong supporter, to Walmart, to Bed Bath & Beyond, to Staples, who has been a great supporter, to college bookstores, 7-Elevens, and other C-stores. And really, to get to 20 million, you have to find a lot of places for it. And we've and what's exciting is we've got a plan to get to 30, and we've got a plan to get to 40 as well.
Well, I mean, you must have a very significant and very effective sales team.
We do. Thank you for talking about that. Brian Garrison has I've known Brian forever. When I was a buyer at CompUSA back in the late 90s, Brian sold to me. And then when I changed categories, he conveniently always changed jobs to always sell to me. And I think my whole 4 years at CompUSA, great 4 years, by the way, great group of people, Brian sold to me. And then years later, when the company was recovering from a bunch of bad decisions and some not so bad decisions, but we were really on the receiving end of some pain, the company was in a place where Brian was also available. And Brian really became that employee that that acted like an owner. And then last year, or I think it was more than a year ago, time goes quickly, but Brian became a partner. And Brian manages, is a VP of sales. He manages some house accounts. He also manages reps. A lot of the reps I've known also, they've sold to me for a long time. So we know a lot of people.
And, are these external reps or are they employees?
So reps would be independent reps where they're rep firms and they represent multiple lines. So they represent a line, an access to those buyers. And it's a pretty much a traditional way that a lot of, you know, the process of how a product goes from idea to on the shelf at Walmart, for most people would say, I can figure out two of those steps, but the other 3,000 are beyond me.
Right.
We've taken products from start to end, and we did that by coming in with a little bit of knowledge of how it's done when I was a buyer or when I was in retail or when I sold to retail or when Brian sold to retail and those sort of things. And then we got a little lucky, and also the fact that Brian just is great, and he's a huge asset.
So you got a great manufacturer in China.
We do.
And you have dependable logistics.
We do.
And you have a great channel and a sales team.
Yeah.
What more is there?
Well, I wish I could say nothing. I can say a lot. First of all, you've got a channel that needs to be fed. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep coming out what's new. We can't be the company that started in 1 year and ended the next year, especially since we didn't keep the money. The money's all gone. We spent it on families, employees, and building the platform and investing in new products, the stuff that we're working on, excite us.
So I want to hear about the new products.
For sure. So one is a variation on our Piggy Pro that we're super excited about. Let's talk about the speaker.
Okay.
So Rocksteady has been is really the where the company started back when my partner Rick, who left the company, I think it was the end of 2014, if my number's correct. But you know, we were building a speaker company and also building a second business, which was all partnered with Killer Concepts. That's kind of complicated, but Rocksteady was really where it started from, and it had always been part of Killer Concepts. And we've never really invested in marketing or advertising, and Rocksteady just continues to sell. It's a good little speaker. It's a speaker that's well-engineered. It's a speaker that sounds good. It's got a lot of unique features, and it just sounds good. It's a good speaker. And actually, sorry, about a year and a half ago, we had some Piggy money, and what we've done with all our Piggy money is invested, and we started to work on a new speaker, and we had the luxury to take our time and try to do it right. We spent a year on it, and then 3 months ago, I killed that project because we decided to build an even better speaker, and we're with all that we learned, but get rid of some legacy issues. And so we're working on a terrific speaker that we know will launch in 2019, and I'm super excited about that. And like what I learned on Piggy Pro, it takes time. You know, the first year is just to make sure anybody even knows you're out there, but hopefully we can learn some lessons and speed that up and get it going. But it's a product that really excites me because it takes us in a completely different direction.
Well, tell me about what's going to be good about this new speaker without tipping your hand.
Yeah. Well, you know, technology has accelerated and improved so quickly. And once you get so many so many players in the space. Once when an industry matures, you start to get some benefits. So with Bluetooth, there's always new functionality being built into Bluetooth. And the later you can launch your speaker, the later you have the latest feature of Bluetooth. So you're always behind the curve because then you got to build it and market it and all that. So A, I'm excited about some of the new features that are available in Bluetooth that we're going to leverage. Two is I'm excited about some of the battery technologies that allow us to do something more with the voltage to really create a more full and incredible sound. And then we've got a form factor that we really like. And like our Rocksteady, we're going to build some bras for it, some silicone. We do a lot with silicone, so some silicone sleeves and bras for it that help you to really use it in unique ways. And we just think that, you know, life is better with a soundtrack. And so we're going to build speakers that sound great, really are simple to use, and do the one thing. You know, they don't order toilet paper. They play music, and that's important.
So when will these be available?
So the process generally is where we have our next batch of prototypes coming back with the last changes we asked for. And if that's close, then we go to a production unit, which then we'll build, make a small production run. We'll do some testing on that. So assuming we are where we think we are, to answer your question, probably around Q3 of 2019, we reserve the right to take our time and do it right.
Sure. And, so if I were to drop by in Laguna Hills, I could at least hear something from the prototype?
For sure.
It sounds good.
Great.
Good.
Yeah, although it's not fully tuned yet. Right now we're working through the mechanical side. The tuning comes towards the end.
Now, this is manufactured in China as well?
It is.
But not by the same manufacturer?
Definitely not. It's a new factory, a factory I met about 4 years ago, and it was a factory I liked, and we went back to see him, and we worked on this project together.
So as we conclude here, what would you say to a couple of guys who were sitting around with a napkin and a couple of pens, and they said, we want to start a company. We don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
What would you say to them that you've learned so far that would help them get started?
Well, stick in an area that you know really well. Otherwise, make sure you have deep pockets because it's going to be expensive to learn the lessons you get from experience. We know retail. We know manufacturing logistics, so it made sense for us. If you don't understand the supply chain or you don't understand, you know what is succeeding, right? What is your goal? If you don't even know how to get there, then be prepared for a lot of learning, and that could be expensive. With that said, you know, go for it, but don't make, just like in, if you have a really good job, they say don't make a career-ending decision, make career-limiting decisions. Same thing with business. Don't make career-ending businesses, make career-limiting businesses. Things that you can survive allows you to stay on focus to what your vision is, and as long as that vision is clear to you and you believe in your vision, then good luck.
Great. All right. So I suppose why don't you tell the group to pay attention, look for the piggies in as they go through the cash register line in Walmart and where else?
So Walmart, GameStop, Staples, 7-Eleven, Bed Bath & Beyond. We've got some Kroger's and Fred Meyer stores. We've got some great partners in Canada. You know, there's a lot of customers, and I'm going to leave them out. We love all our customers of all sizes. What they're really seeing is we do two things. So one is on our website, everything that we sell on our website, we donate 15% of that to Curing Cancer,
right,
the Cancer Research Institute. And then the rest of the money we use to pay our employees.
Good.
So, and that's where.
So tell us about the website. Where should people go?
So our website is www.killerc.com, KILLERC.com. And that's for Killer Concepts. And definitely support our retailers and give some good wishes as we try to grow our company and achieve some goals.
Now, if somebody wanted to take you out to lunch and pick your brain, how would they get in touch with you?
I'm always available, but our company main email address is support@killerc.com, and every email gets read and every email gets answered.
Excellent.
So.
Thanks a lot, Jeff, for being with us. It's been a lot of fun. I don't know what else to say, but other than keep those piggies rolling, right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Will.
Well, that's there we go with another wonderful time with an entrepreneur in Southern California telling us how businesses thrive in California.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.